This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Although there's a bit of concern about China switching over to importing crops from South America, it doesn't look like that will be happening quite yet. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions for an update on the South American harvest and how their infrastructure is looking.
Overall, about 30% of Brazil's crop has been harvested. Argentina is still in the pod fill stage, and of course their second crop, soybeans, which are a major part of their production, are still ahead of them as far as their prime production time. But about 30% of Brazil harvested, most of that in northwestern areas. We've been in the best yielding areas thus far, and that'll probably continue for another week or two before we get to further to the south and east in the areas that were hurt by drought. Probably one of the bigger concerns that's not receiving much press right now is the second crop corn, a safrinha corn crop in Brazil. That accounts for the majority of Brazil's corn. As you know, exports to the United States this past year were really hurt by the amount of corn exported out of Brazil with their big crop. The safrinha corn really should be planted by now so that it can mature and both pollinate and fill grain ahead of its normal dry season. However, about half of that crop in Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul, where the bulk of it is grown, has not even been planted yet because of excessively wet conditions. That's not really received a whole lot of attention yet.
Well, I'm sure we can sympathize with excessively wet conditions after last spring.
Absolutely. And as we look to the U.S. spring coming up, it looks like we're going to be below normal temperatures now through much of the month of March. And some of the extended outlooks say that could extend into April as well. So it could be a cool start to the spring. And with the Great Lakes now all but frozen over, that suggests that we could have some late cold snaps in the eastern Midwest particularly as well, with a little bit more wetness than what we'd like for planting the crop here as well.
So do you think we could be looking at spring planting delays because of cold weather and probably some wetness?
That's particularly the concern right now. As we look overall at the spring, it looks like they should be able to get started in the south as we go through the next month. But as we move up into April, when we start moving up into the central and southern Midwest, it looks like it could be cold and wet start to the spring, kind of keeping the planters into the shed. And as we go into the month of May, it looks like we could see some fairly normal planting conditions then open up west of the Mississippi River, but east of the Mississippi River we could continue to see some problems.
Now, we keep hearing about China purchasing soybeans and crops from us, but you mentioned tight supplies and things like that. Do we have to worry about having to fulfill orders but not having the crops to do so?
Well, the free market will always make sure we don't run out of soybeans, but it'll do so at a price. And so the question is, what will that price need to be? And at this point, it looks like with China eventually shifting south of the equator for its supplies on the export front, much of our exports then should slow down. But then it comes down to, will there be enough soybeans here for our domestic needs, for crushing, for soy meal, for livestock? And at this point, it looks like there will not be enough soybeans. So what does that mean? It means that we simply need to import soybeans in order to meet our crushing needs, or import soy meal, probably a combination of the two. And in fact, trade reports suggest that the first shipment of South American soy meal is expected to arrive on the Carolina coast by May. But that's the new world we live in now, where we export more than we can afford to export, and then in the second half of the marketing year we import to meet our needs. The futures market may not reflect that, but it means the cash market is going to have to maintain soybean and soy meal prices at a high enough level to pay that freight for those soybean and soy meal supplies to make it into the United States.
So while we're competing with Brazil for export destinations, we're going to have to import in order to meet our own needs because we are exporting so much.
Yes, and it's a world where transportation is much easier than it was 30, 40 years ago. And so the marketplace for all the grains is much more comfortable at tighter supply levels. And so that's why we have such low prices right now. We say, relatively speaking to where we've been the last 4 or 5 years, because the market is more comfortable with tighter supplies and moving those supplies around. However, that also means that when there is a legitimate threat to the production of any one of the major crops, the market has to respond much more aggressively in order to quickly try to slow down that demand.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solution. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Thousands of farmers every year depend on federal crop insurance to help protect their income from unavoidable loss. And many of those farmers depend on country financial agent Wayne Schaefer to help sort through all the programs available and find the best one to meet their needs. Remember, you can depend on country for all your farm insurance needs. So from the time you put it in the planter till the time it comes out of the ground, you've got coverage from Wayne Schaefer, your country agent in Jerseyville, an equal opportunity provider. Give us a call at 498-5800.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Just listen to David Brigeman, Macoupin County farmer, businessman, and Farm Bureau member.
After making trips to Washington, D.C., I've recognized the need to communicate to legislators what the needs in rural America are and the importance of agriculture in the American economy. My eyes have been open to such issues, which is why I've become an advocate for Farm Bureau.
The value? Legislative activities watching out for your interests. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about value. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Livestock and ethanol are the go-to users of commodities like corn and soybeans. Todd Gleason reports these two sectors have now created a very robust domestic demand base for these crops.
Row crop commodities like corn and soybeans grown in the United States are used primarily in the United States by two engines. These two sectors, says University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good, are putting a solid floor under the farm.
Domestically, it suggests we have a very robust demand base for corn and soybean meal as livestock feed. May not be growing rapidly. The livestock industry is pretty mature, as is the ethanol industry now, with potential for modest growth as we expand ethanol blends and perhaps exports of ethanol. But pretty small growth, but I think the major point is that we have a large fixed consumption base for corn that in many respects puts a pretty good floor under the total demand picture. And the fluctuation we will see going forward is basically in the export market.
Add to this solid demand base a competitive price on the global level, and Darrell Good says it is clear the world is still very interested in buying corn from the United States. There's already been a sharp rebound from last year's dismal export number, more so than was expected even after the drought-shortened supply was replenished.
I think, you know, from the demand side, it says that we're in pretty good shape on corn. Going forward, we have such a large fixed demand. Soybeans, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. We continue to see a ramp-up in South American production that provides more competition for U.S. soybeans. But to date, that's been completely offset by Chinese demand for soybeans that continues to grow. And the U.S. continues to have record soybean exports in the face of larger and larger South American crops.
It underscores the need for the United States, the world as a whole, to produce large corn and soybean crops annually. Overproduction could become a problem, but a short supply year is likely to quickly fix that kind of nagging issue.
Over the next year or two or even three, any significant shortfall in production means that those surpluses go away pretty fast. So I think overall we have a pretty good floor under the price of corn and soybeans going forward.
The University of Illinois puts the midpoint prices of corn and soybeans at about $4.50 and $10.50 over the long run, meaning years going forward. It is the new era price level, which includes the ultimately high prices received over the last 5 years and some very low ones yet to come. I'm Todd Gleason.
And just a reminder for many ag producers in the area, March 17th is the deadline for signing up for crop insurance on spring-planted crops and for making any changes to existing policies. It is recommended that producers meet with their crop insurance agent as soon as possible to help make adjustments that could be brought on by the passage of the new farm bill, or to see if it would be wiser to stick with their old crop insurance coverage. Once again, the deadline for most producers is March 17th on spring-planted crops and for making changes to existing policies. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.